Welcome back to the show. Happy to have you here. Hope all is well in your world. Coming off a fun episode with Miguel Colon Jr., fellow comedian and co-owner, I guess, of the Sausage Castle. So it was a fun time. Glad you guys enjoyed that episode. I had a blast. And the camera messed up, but we did get the audio. And then I'm going to have some of the clips animated, you know, like a cartoon form. So that was cool. Thank you for all the reviews on Spotify, Apple. That's always a big help. Lets me know you guys are listening, enjoying the show. Because without you, I might as well be in a padded room talking to myself. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into the episode. All right, this caught my attention this week. I don't know if you guys saw the new ride-sharing app that pairs riders with armed drivers. The surge in violent crime nationwide has inspired a former bodyguard to launch a ride-sharing app that features armed drivers with plans for New York and Atlanta, Georgia. So apparently, riders pay a rate of $60 and then $1.75 per mile to ride with an armed driver. Hey, Black Wolf, they already have this. It's called Uber. If you don't think your Uber driver is strapped, think again. Every driver I know has a Glock in the glove box. Oh, well, what about the old lady that drove me from the airport? She has a bazooka, all right? If you don't think your Uber drivers are armed, you're out of your mind. I'm not paying $60 to ride with someone who has a gun. All they do is pass a background check and take a... I don't even think it says they take a class. I think it's just like a mall cop. It's not like a former military, you know, ex-Marine driving you around. It's just a guy with a gun. I think that's the last thing you need is someone who's like pretending to be a bodyguard, Secret Service. They just pull the gun out. Don't forget to tip on the app. You know Uber's going to respond to this. They're going to come out with something crazy. Uber Uzi, where you can order a drive-by on your enemies. Yeah, you know Uber's going to step in. We got Uber Airstrike. All you got to do is enter the coordinates of the person you don't like and hit send. Napalm will be deployed within minutes, burning your rivals to the ground. Yeah, Uber's definitely not going to like this. I don't know, would I feel comfortable ordering a car with someone who's like, yeah, I got a gun, I'm going to get you there safely? I don't know who the fuck it is. I see the idea of it. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, 80,000 downloads, but $60 seems a little bit steep when I could just get somebody in a Prius. Is the car bulletproof? I mean, that would be like where I would be like, all right, $60 is worth it. But if it's just a regular, car with a guy with a gun, I mean, who really gives a fuck? I just see the process of getting approved might be a little bit too easy. You know, someone who's like, you know, I've always wanted to be a cop, but they wouldn't let me. I got kicked out of the military. Now you're just basically like driving someone. The thing is like, you don't want the person that's looking for a problem, you know? You don't want your Uber driver having road rage and be like, yo, I'm going to defend you. You're in the back seat like it's a real life universal ride. I don't want any part of this. If you're really that worried about your safety, just carry a gun yourself. That's kind of how I see it. Started posting on Facebook again. Man, I got to have somebody manage my social media, dude. I just you shouldn't open an app and immediately get angry. I got this girl from my high school and she always posts like these long, drawn-out quotes. The other day, I go on to post a video, and I see her. She posted, I'm so thankful that I never allowed myself to settle. You're a whore. Like, she's literally a whore, and I got no problem with whores. But don't say you're thankful you've never allowed yourself to settle. That's how it works when you're a whore. They don't usually settle. That's kind of the whole point of the game. You know, she has the photos of like she's at dinner, but you don't ever see who takes the photo. She's just at like high-end restaurants all over the world. And it's like, hey, who's taking the photo, you know? Like, I don't mind whores. I love hanging out with them. They're usually fun. You know, anyone with trauma or emotional damage is usually a fun person to hang out with. But don't brag about it, you know? Like, oh, I've been to 37 countries. You've sucked dick in 37 countries. That's the only reason you've been to 37 countries. It wasn't on your own dime. It's not a flex when you're human trafficking yourself. DIY human trafficking. Like some Russian's going to throw you in a van and you're like, no, I'm already going to Moscow. I've already booked my trip. I had a conversation with a guy who was 98 years old. You wouldn't be able to tell he was 98. He was still kicking and moving. But it was an interesting conversation. We talked for like probably 20 minutes. And he made all his money in the ice cream business. He was the one who originally came up with the half-gallon ice cream, because apparently back in the day, everyone had like tiny freezers and they couldn't fit like the commercial size ice cream. So for the home use, he was like, yo, let's make a half gallon. It'll fit in the freezer perfectly. And then just sold out like crazy. He was basically like the cartel of ice cream. But yeah, the guy was doing good. 98 years old, still kicking. Talking to a 98-year-old was so funny. We were talking about housing prices. He was like, I bought my first house for $24,000. And I was making $12,000 a year. I paid it off in 4 years. I paid off my house in 4 years. I don't know how you kids do it. We don't. It's fucking hard out here. Paid off his house in 4 years. He's like, I got like 20 homes. Yeah, it's easy to buy 20 homes when they're all under $100,000. Unbelievable. And the funniest thing this old guy said, he was like, now you kids have to deal with AI. He goes, I'm out of here. You guys have fun with that. It's funny to be that comfortable with death at 98 where you're just like, he's like, you guys are about to be dealing with the Terminator. Good luck. I'm out of here. He said a brand new Cadillac was like $3,000. He was like, you could have bought a new car every month. I'm like, that's such bullshit, dude. It is insane. I mean, if nothing changes, our kids' kids are going to be like, yo, we can't even afford to eat. That's how it kind of is now. I always had this joke with my buddy Gary. You guys know him. He's been on the show a few times. And we were always talking about in LA, like, it costs $25 just to leave the house. Like, everything is $25 starting off. You want a sandwich? $25. You want an Uber? $25. Everything was just $25. Here's another thing I saw this week. A Chinese company designs airbag jackets to protect the elderly from falls. All right, so those of you listening, this guy just falls. These old people have these vests on with airbags, and it's like a fully enclosed airbag suit. So it just looks like a regular vest, kind of. But then, like, pillows go around your head, your neck, and it makes a gunshot sound like a regular airbag. So here's the demonstration. Let me play it here. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a good idea, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you imagine falling like that in a restaurant, just in front of everybody, just... I don't know, man. I'd probably rather take the broken hip than to have that gunshot sound go off in like a restaurant. Just leaving breakfast with your family and just... Just laying there with a full airbag around you. I would do it for fun. I would wear one. Your girlfriend's like, yeah, it's not working out. Just fall back. Hey, yeah, sorry, sir. Your flight's been delayed. Just let it go off. How does it know when to go off? Does it sense that you're falling and then it deploys? What if you just move too quick? Like, what if you're out to eat and you just reach for the salt too fast and poof, just fully inflates? What else has been going on, man? You guys seeing this Ozempic, the weight loss drug? I guess it's just like an injection that burns fat. People are like having serious health reactions, side effects to it. I don't know. The only time I watch TV now is when I'm at the gym, because they have to like MK Ultra you. There's a screen. Whenever I'm on the Stairmaster, there's like four TVs on. And it was the one of the channels was the news talking about how horrible Ozempic is for you. And then the commercial, when they went to commercial, it was just Ozempic commercials. So it's like they're still selling the shit. And of course, fat people are loving it, because it's just, everything's fake now. You know, it had, you know, fake tits. Everyone's getting a fake nose, fake jawline. Now it's fake skinny. You know, oh, you can keep eating cake. Just fucking inject yourself with Ozempic And then, yeah, I guess it's like ruining people's gut health, stomach ulcers, all kinds of shit, dude. But I don't know. Anything not to lose weight. I saw a billboard the other day. It was like, you know, Florida has all these billboards, mainly lawyers, accident attorneys. But there was one, it was like, oh, I lost 30 pounds with hypnotherapy. And it's like, however long it takes you to go to a hypnosis person, pay them and get hypnotized. Like, what do they do? Like, you will stop eating cupcakes. You will stop being a piece of shit. You will walk on the treadmill. Like, what are they hypnotizing you for? You will not eat after 8 p.m. Ooh. Just lose the weight, guys. Go to the gym. Go for a walk. Don't eat late at night. It's so simple. I mean, I was a fat kid in eighth grade. My real motivation to lose weight was not being able to run from the police. One time it was me and my buddy Tommy, and it started pouring rain. We were on our bikes. Had to be like 13, 14 around there. And this was like 2008. And there was a bunch of abandoned homes in Florida because it was like right after the housing crisis or during. And like half the neighborhood was foreclosed. So we went to this abandoned house that everybody used to party at. And we left our bikes in the driveway because we're like, hey, we're not doing anything wrong. We're just getting out of the rain. We're hiding from the storm. And one of the neighbors called the cops because they knew it was an abandoned house. And so like 20 cop cars pulled up, just kind of ran into the house. I was loading an airsoft gun that looked like a real gun. This cop pulled his gun on me. He's like, drop your weapon. And I was like, it's a BB gun. And I thought he was going to shoot me, honestly. But yeah, this house was like fully abandoned, had a bunch of random shit in it. Like, I remember my buddy came downstairs. He had like an umbrella, like one of those Chinese umbrellas. He's twirling it. He had no idea the cops were there. And they were like, who else is in here? You know, doing like a full fake fucking SWAT team raid because they got nothing else to do. Bradenton, Florida cops. Bunch of losers. Anyway, you know, they passed 19 meth labs to come get these 13-year-old kids not doing anything wrong. And they were like, we're charging you guys with breaking and entering. And I was like, well, first of all, we just entered. There was no breaking. So I don't know if, you know, I was being my own lawyer at 13. I was like, well, first of all, officer, we just entered. And then my buddy was like, you know, they got the handcuffs out and they're like, well, we can do this two ways. You can call your parents to come get you, or we can just take you guys to jail. And my buddy Tommy's like, hey, let's just run. You know, and I was like this little fat kid. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, I'm not going to outrun these fucking cops. Because that's the most embarrassing thing, dude. Like, if he took off running, gets away, and then I'm like the fat kid that trips, you know, that would suck. We should have ran, though, just for the experience. Looking back, I'm like, the best advice I ever got, this is probably not the best advice, but people would say in my town, they go, do all your crime before you were 18. No, matter of fact, do it before you're 17, because if you commit a major crime at 17, they'll probably hold you till you're an adult. And I'm like, what are you, speaking from experience? Probably yes, but that was the town. Good old Bradenton, Florida. But yeah, no, now everyone's just going to like lose weight without the hard work and effort, you know? What's next? I guess people already do get the ab implants, you know, especially in LA. People get like the like 6 speed bumps on their stomach. It's like a manufactured body. So weird. I just hate when fat people lose weight and then you gotta like pretend like you care, you know? And it's like sober people annoy me too. You ever walk in a room and everybody's clapping and you're like, what is this guy, a war hero? They're like, no, you stopped drinking Bud Light. And it's like, gives a fuck. You know, everybody who's like, oh, it's been 3 years since I've used heroin. It's like, wow, I'm going on 30. What are you doing now? Oh, I'm just washing dishes at Chili's. Oh, nice. Sick, dude. You should go back on heroin, maybe write a hit song. Nah, I'm just fucking around. Heroin's no joke, dude, though. I feel for anybody who has that addiction, because it's not good. I mean, especially when someone just got injured, like an athlete. You know, I met a lot of those guys. I've known people that got on heroin that way. You know, they tear their ACL, and they're like, oh, here, take these Oxycontin? They're like, yeah, take these, you know? And then the next thing you know, they're like not even an athlete anymore. They're just stealing toasters, trying to figure out how to afford their habit. I had a heroin addict roommate one time, probably one of the best roommates. Just some rich kid, addicted to heroin, you know? Never really saw him. He was just in his room all the time. Sometimes I'd have to remind him that the rent was due, but he always had it. I don't know how he was making money, but, you know, come like the 30th of the month, I'd be like, hey, tomorrow's the 1st. And he's like, and then he'd hit me with the Cash App. One of the best roommates, honestly. One time I time traveled on him. Nothing better than time traveling on a heroin addict. I was sitting on the couch. It was probably like 11 p.m. And I was like, shit, if I don't do laundry now, I'm not going to have it done in time for tomorrow morning. And right as I got up to go get my laundry, he comes out with his laundry basket. And I was like, oh, you're doing laundry now? He's like, yeah. I'm just like, fuck, bro. Now I got to stay up super late, wait for him, you know, to finish up. And then he just nods off with the laundry basket, just like mid, just standing up, hunched over. And then I was like, now's my chance. And I just ran into my room, grabbed my laundry, put it in, and then sat back on the couch. And by the time he came back to like a fucking zombie, he went into the laundry room and he's like, oh, you're doing laundry? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's almost done. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, that was fucking sweet, dude. It was like click. I just paused him, went and did my laundry, and then it was pretty funny, dude. The worst part about living with a heroin addict, though, is they'll eat all your food, and then when you go to confront them, they're dead, you know? Like, hey, did you eat all my chips and guac? Oh, you're dead. I'm sorry. Then you got to call their parents. Hey, I just want to let you know your son ate all my chips and guac. And they're like, you're an adult. Why are you calling us? Go tell him. And I'm like, oh, well, that's also why I'm calling. Well, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover. I'm going to run to the grocery store, and then I got to go to the show. And I don't, dude, what's up with the grocery stores now? It's like every grocery store has some kind of charity. Hey, do you want to round up to the next dollar to donate to blah, blah, blah? And it's like, what are all these random-ass charities? It's insane. You know, I've already donated so much to the Special Olympics. I've rounded up $19. You know, then they had one. It was like a back to school. Like, oh, do you want to round up? Do you want to donate to the backpack drive? And it's like, just be honest with me, dude. You're not. These are what these charities do, right? They raise $10 million and then they buy 10 backpacks, pocket the rest. Anyone who I've ever known that works for a nonprofit has access to a private jet. How the fuck is that happening? I thought this was a toy drive. Oh, do you want to, what was it, Toys for Tots? Yeah, it's all they do. You donate $100,000, they buy one squirt gun and keep the other $99,900. Like, hey, we bought a toy. We bought a toy for a tot. We spent the rest on a Range Rover. What do you, hey, we're a charity here. All right, we have a lot of overhead. You want to donate $10 to provide backpacks for kids in need? Just tell me where the money's going. I know you're not buying backpacks. You're fucking buying bombs. But anyway, appreciate you. Leave a review if you haven't already. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Got a new website coming out. So I got to have all the show dates. I want to come see you guys. Got a lot in the works. Thank you for the continued support, sharing all the videos on social media. And I'll see you guys next week. You want to smoke something? You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody. What have we got here? A fucking comedian. This show's not going to go well. You got to let it fly.